Have we fallen for the big lie that possessing or having things will make us happy? The truth is, men, happiness comes from being rather than having. Hello, I'm Brian Patrick. Welcome to Crossing the Goal, where we tackle tough issues men think about but really don't talk very much about. As we continue our series on the seven deadly sins, greed is our topic, this time on Crossing the Goal. We're kicking off this show here on Crossing the Goal, focusing on greed. And by now, most of you know our Crossing the Goal team from Renewal Ministries, Peter Herbeck, Curtis Martin of Focus, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, and former All-Pro wide receiver and NFL coach Danny Abramowitz, our coach here on Crossing the Goal. Peter's going to take us into the Word of God for our kickoff on greed.
Thanks, Brian. It's surprising, but Scripture has a lot to say about money. One of the most striking things Scripture has to say is that the love of money, not money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. It sounds a little bit hyperbolic, but there's a profound truth there. Money has power, and if we're not careful, it can control us.
You know, you are right on. There is a tremendous amount about, and our Lord himself, Jesus, speaks about money an enormous amount, and it's something that's near and dear to us. And I'm also challenged by another statement that he makes, where he says you can't serve God and money. Because if you think about it, we spend an enormous amount of time going to work and to earn money. And how do we balance that out? And so there's a tremendous wrestling match that takes place in our lives where we need money, but we can't get distracted by money or allow it to crowd itself into that key place of our life that's the center of our lives. If we do, we've turned our back on God.
And it's not only money, it's things. You know, I want this right. Or I want that, and I'll get it at all costs, and whatever it takes, I'm going to get it. Because I think what the ultimate goal of a person in that kind of greed situation is ultimately they want power that comes with money and things.
Yeah. And the passage you quote is a great one, because the question is, who are you going to serve? It says, Jesus says, you cannot serve God and money. You can't serve money. And surprisingly, many of us live as if we're servants of money.
So it doesn't mean we can't have money.
Right.
We can't have things. It's who and what we are serving that counts.
Right. I mean, it's possible for a disciple to be a billionaire, a multi-billionaire. There's nothing wrong with having money. It's what function does money have in your life? What kind of control does it have on your heart? What kind of control does it have on your mind and your will is the real question.
There's two worlds, the world that we live in now and the world that is to come, that's going to last forever. And really, money raises the question, which world are you serving? If you use money as a tool to gain the world to come, then it can be a great tool to do much good. But if we allow it to distract us and think that we're playing to win in this world, then it gets our eyes off the world to come, and then we lose.
Inordinate amount of attention placed on people that have money. You know, they look up.
It's true.
That guy is the most successful guy in the world because he has that money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That he's got the power. He's got everything. Yeah. People want to be around him. So
he's my meal ticket. That's what people do. That's
exactly
how they get around him, is because in some way I want to have what he's got.
And Madison Avenue is always trying to sell us on the idea that if you just had this,
right?
Or if you just got that, we'd be happy.
Right. I mean, the Bernie Madoff story has been a fascinating teaching for us, hasn't it?
Wow.
In our country.
Oh, my goodness. What
all
is this?
The power of
how
money.
How can he stay in all those places? How do you keep track of all those different places? You know, give me this or that. I want this. Or it shows you there's no way you can enjoy all those things. And I think that's what we're saying. It's not the idea of this or that. The money itself is not the problem or the things. It's what we place and why do we have it? What are we doing with it?
Greed can creep up on us. It can be a subtle foe, and we have a game plan for dealing with greed from Peter and Curtis next on Crossing the Goal right after this quick timeout.
I did that just for you guys.
Very nice.
We're back. Our topic is greed, which is a big issue for us. What exactly are we talking about, Peter?
Well, greed is an inordinate attachment to temporal things in a broad sense, but in particular to money. Money's kind of the bottom line. Cardinal Newman had this great line. I loved it. He said, we put faith in money, right? Why? Because we believe with money, all things are possible. Taking a twist on with God, all things are possible. But you know, he makes a very important point. That's the way we relate to money. Why? Because we believe that with money, money's going to be able to buy me power, security, influence, independence, whatever I want. Money is the ticket for me to get what I want and even to build an identity. And here's the problem. We have the flesh in us, that part of us that is ego-driven, wants to displace God, and money helps us displace God. When I have money, I don't need God. That's why historically, even the Israelites and throughout history, see, when people prosper financially, they often forget about God because they can multiply the distractions.
You see the wisdom of our nation in its founding. What did the fathers have a stamp on all of our money? In God we trust, to remind us that we're not going to trust in money. But we find ourselves, in even the midst of that, struggling, forgetting God, being caught up in greed, recognizing that we really need to learn the art of being satisfied with what we have. But we live in a world that's constantly saying, come on, you can get more, you can get more.
In fact, the trajectory of the world, or the scripture describes the world, what is it? It's the fallen dimension of the world. It goes after that flesh in us that is just essentially feeling discontent. I don't have enough. I'm not even secure enough about who I am. I got to go define myself. And one of the things money helps me do is at least create an identity for myself and then secure it in the eyes of other people. But deep down, it doesn't really answer the fundamental question, because we can only find our identity in God. That's the trouble with the whole thing. And you have Paul in the New Testament and other passages says, be content. That's the constant message in the New Testament regarding money. Be content with what you have. Be content, be at peace, instead of always feeling agitated like, I don't have enough, I don't have enough, I don't have enough. And it destabilizes. I know guys who are multimillionaires, Curtis, who feel like they don't have enough.
Well, this is the issue. It looks like it should satisfy us, but if it did satisfy us, all wealthy people would be happy. And we just know that to be patently untrue.
Right.
So there's a lie built into the whole thing. It's not just that we exchange something that we can't take with us, goods on this earth, for the goods that are in the world to come, but they actually don't even satisfy. We think they will, and we're always drawn to them. I know I am. But nevertheless, it's actually a lie built into it. Not only is it a bad trade, it's a terrible trade, because the goods of this earth will never satisfy us. We weren't made for them.
One of the most powerful passages in all the Bible is Philippians chapter 4, when Paul says, I've learned something. I've learned a secret. I've learned the secret of contentment. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. I know how to have nothing. Paul was a homeless man at one point, but I know how to have almost everything. I know how to be content in all circumstances. In him who's the source of my strength, I have strength for everything.
Look at the wisdom that our Lord shares with us in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. He gives us a number of parables about the kingdom, but he says, tells us about a man who discovers a treasure hidden in a field. And what does he do? He goes and sells everything he has to buy that field. The Christian does not walk around saying, oh, woe is me, I don't have as much. No, the Christian is glad to give whatever he or she can to gain the great treasure that's hidden in the field, to be able to recognize that treasure is Jesus Christ, the great King, calling us home to a world, an everlasting world, that we can never lose anything. All of our gifts last forever there.
Yeah, you nailed it. The only way to displace greed or money as the treasure in our life is to let the Lord become our treasure and our portion. You know, the Psalm 16, I love it. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Lord, I have a great heritage in you. You are my pleasure. I've tasted of you, Lord. I don't need anything else, bottom line.
Yeah, and until we actually fill that void in our lives, the traps of money and new cars and whatever the newest shiny thing is always going to come and attract us, because we are made for a hunger of something outside of us. That something is a someone.
Yeah.
It's God Almighty. But because we lose sight of him, our flesh is weak and we can't see him. Then we find ourselves scratching around for earthly goods. And we live in a world filled with very, very attractive earthly goods. And so we have to recognize that never before have we been tempted to such a level. And we have to find that great treasure or we're hopeless.
And when we have the treasure, contentment's possible. Generosity is possible.
And we long for that. That's what we want to learn. And this is the great power of the gospel to lead us beyond the agitation that in a fallen and broken economy is all the more acute. Oh my goodness, what about my retirement? Oh my goodness, oh my goodness. We've got all these anxieties. And Jesus says, none of those things are really important. Trust in me and you experience real peace. Brian?
Thanks, Curtis and Peter. Coach, those guys really shine in the game plan up that podium all by themselves, huh?
Guys, don't be so greedy with your time down in the red zone.
Yeah, we just can't get enough of you. I think we're made for more, don't you think?
I think so.
All right. We're heading for the red zone next here on Crossing the Goal right after this quick timeout. We're in the red zone talking about greed this time on Crossing the Goal. I want to thank all the women who watch Crossing the Goal. It's a show for men, but I know a lot of the ladies out there watch. Does Michael Ann watch?
She does.
Yeah.
Along with our kids, so it's great. A lot of fun.
I make my wife watch it.
Well, you had an experience early on and then through your ministry that you want to share.
No, what you're basically saying is I'm a very greedy person, so I appreciate that. No, it is. It's been a pilgrimage for us to walk through. I've spent almost all of my married life as working in not-for-profits, serving the church.
Right.
And Mike Lann and I feel very deeply that we've been called to do that. But you know, early on, we had to make a decision. Are we willing to step off of a track that probably would have led to more money? I owned my own business before we jumped into the not-for-profit world. And we really came to peace that was okay. But that's not a one-time decision.
No.
Years go by and kids come and then all of a sudden you're challenged with more needs and then the kids get older.
And they keep on coming.
And they do. and people buy, your neighbors buy a nice car. You're like, I would like a car that works and that sort of thing. Yeah. And it's been a challenge to sit back and really be able to say, Lord, do the tentacles of worldly desire begin to reach into my heart?
Sure.
And they do. The answer is not maybe or no. It's certainly they do. And how do we pull them back and say, we want to be detached from these things and only take what we need so that we can continue to run after you.
When you make that leap from secular media into Catholic media, you experience that same thing. I did that a few years ago and had an opportunity, an offer to go back into secular media, and I really had to make a conscious decision. No, this is what God is calling me to do and trust Him.
And He blesses you.
He does, over and over.
And the only way to be able to do that, I mean, I'm kind of in the same boat you guys are in, same kind of lifestyle, same kind of career track. And the only way to do that is to have the Lord as our portion, to have Him as our treasure. I mean, because the reason it's difficult is because we're afraid. We're afraid of our future. We're afraid we're not going to have enough. We feel this instability and insecurity. And at the bottom of that instability is our relationship with the Lord. And do we trust Him? Can I trust Him? Is my life going to be okay? That's the bottom line. And because we're afraid it's not, we sometimes reach out and hoard money, or we pursue more than we need because deep down inside we're feeling very insecure about our life.
I want to throw another little angle in there too, is how we acquire our wealth and our things in life. You know, you look at, especially look at news today, is how people acquire it. There's nothing wrong with profit. There's nothing wrong with wealth, but how you do it. I find out that some people want it so badly that they'll cheat, they'll be cunning. They'll go after even their own relatives and scam deals that we've seen about. And they think that because they'll get that, whatever that is, money usually is a root, that will make me peaceful. That'll make me joyful. That'll really fulfill the emptiness in me. And that's so wrong, because at one time I had some pretty decent money in my life, but I was the most miserable at that time because I was... Where can I get more? How can I get? I was never satisfied with that. Let me get something more. And then once I got knocked down and went flat on my back, and the Lord took everything away from me, but He brought Himself into my life, like you were saying, Peter. Yeah. And when He came into my life, then I start acquiring more wealth. Mm-hmm. But how I looked at it and what I did with it, the generosity, things had changed in my life.
Yeah, you used to bring it in and you hold on to it. Now it just kind of passes through your hands.
Like it was
in many
mine.
Ways.
You said,
it just goes out.
It's all God's.
Look, I'm full. My life's pretty full, you know, with the Lord. I'm happy. I'm living with Him. And He actually changes your heart and makes it possible. He disentangles our heart from the enmeshment of the flesh and the power that money has in the wrong kind of way to trap us and control us.
It's an interesting passage in the book of Ezekiel. The prophet Ezekiel looks to Sodom and Gomorrah, these cities that are known for their gross immorality. I mean, the name is synonymous with homosexual sin. And yet when he goes and he addresses them, he does not criticize them for their sexual immorality. He says the root sin is you were blessed with great abundance and you were not generous.
Yeah.
And I think we are in a culture that is being tempted right now. We have great abundance and we're being shaken right now and tested. Are we forgetting God in the midst of our wealth, which I think is truly the case? And he's saying, come on, wake up and remember me. Yeah. Because if we don't remember him, we're going to slide down this evil slope towards real corruption. And I think the first fruits of that are already very visible as well.
You know, the Lord permits right now we're going as an economy, as a country, through an economic difficulty. And our 401ks become 201ks, and our secure future looks like it's disappearing. And it reveals something in us. A crisis takes place, and it reveals the truth about my heart. Where am I, you know, in relationship to my security in God? Where do I find my identity? Where do I find my security? We pursue money radically in this world in a disproportionate way because of the instability and insecurity of our identity. If we pursued God and the kingdom of God with the same passion and energy we pursue money in the world, we'd set the whole world on fire,
but
literally.
Also, what are we doing with the treasure, with our gifts? Not only the money, the gifts that he's given all of us, are we sharing it? Or are we hoarding it? Or are we greedy with what we do, our time and our efforts? Are we out there helping other people? We know what our talents are. Are we out there utilizing those talents to help other people? Or are we just worried about my time, this is mine, everything's about mine, instead of
I'll go back to the not-for-profit world. I have to work with donors, and so sometimes I'm back going, you know, oh, Lord, if you could just help us find a couple more donors, what is it? And then I'm watching this commercial on television for these poor, starving children in Africa. Yeah. And I'm thinking, the gap between me and these children is actually far greater than the wealthy donors we're trying to reach. The wealthy donors and I both have hot and cold running water and all of the amenities of life. These children are dying for lack of goods.
Right.
What have I done to get outside of myself and really care for those who are less fortunate than I am? Because I can always bemoan the fact that I don't have all I want, but I've got more than I need. And to be able to get outside of ourselves, tithing has been a great tool
that's
in my life.
Excellent point. I think a revolution happened in my life when I realized, you know what? It's not my money.
Yeah,
exactly. It's God's money.
Generosity is always rewarded. When I started tithing, for some reason, there was always enough there. And every time it gets a little lean, you're tempted to cut back a little bit, but I fight that temptation, and God always rewards.
And you start thinking, where did it come from?
Yeah.
Where did this talent, where did the money come? Where did all the, we don't stop long enough to really start thinking about it. We slow down and really start thinking about it. This is my ministry. This is your ministry, yours, mine. Come on, the Lord.
We're doomed if we think that way.
You know, it's a battle, but I think one of the most crucial things that every guy has to do in his heart is to say, Lord, I want to go your way with my money. I want to know what you want me to do with my money. I want to be oriented to this whole area of my life according to your will and purpose, and make a decision and be resolved to go God's way on this.
And one thing that's very helpful that way is that we are going to learn the Lord's perspective on our money. We don't want to find it at the end when we can't make a change.
No.
Might as well learn now when you might be able to make an adjustment.
I heard the Lord speaking last night to me that you guys were supposed to give me a pretty good contribution.
That's
what he told me. I'm just telling you what he said now. I mean, you know.
And generosity is always rewarded, right?
The scripture also says, store up your treasure in heaven.
Absolutely.
A wise investor. That is, you know, take what, if you've got money to give and the Lord's calling you to give away what you have, invest in the things of the kingdom. Support things like Crossing the Goal, or whatever, stand behind programs like.
Hey, man, good.
He paid me to say that. Seriously, it's a biblical principle. Store up your treasure in heaven. Invest in the things of the kingdom here. Be very generous, and the Lord's going to reward you.
Look at the way God works this. He says, Jesus says, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. When God watches us seek him, he blesses us. Now, it doesn't mean that this is the tool to get to be wealthy beyond our imaginations. It means that all of our needs will be met. He will care for us because God loves it when we live the way he wants us to. I see that as a father. I want to bless and care for my kids when they're sharing with one another, when they're loving one another.
All right, we'll hear the last word from each of these guys on greed and generosity when we come back in the end zone here on Crossing the Goal.
Ready to wrap?
As we wrap up our discussion on greed, we know the answer is generosity. And hopefully you're feeling generous, and we want to encourage you to support EWTN and Crossing the Goal directly. You can go to crossingthegoal.com. Peter?
Great plug, Brent. I want to just give you a word of encouragement. These are scary times and difficult times economically. And one of the things that the Lord wants us to do in these times is to lean on Him. But we can be tempted to lose our confidence in Him. Listen to this passage from Hebrews. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance now, so that you may be able to do the will of God and receive what is promised.
That's fantastic, Peter. And I want to build on that, because it's so important for us to recognize, in season and out, whether it's a challenging time or a year from now, it may be going really well. But there's a counterintuitive principle in the kingdom of heaven, which says that we need to give in order to receive. And this is a powerful passage in which our Lord tells us from Luke, and I want to share this with you. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing, they will pour into your lap. For by the standard that you measure out, it will be measured back to you. In other words, Jesus is essentially telling each of us, if you want me to bless you, then be a blessing to others. Get outside of ourselves. We overcome greed with the gift of heroic generosity.
Fasting. You probably say, where's Coach going with this? Fast from the things you want and worry about the things that you just need in life, the basic things. Start tithing and helping others and find out what happens in your life.
Great coaching point. Thank you, Coach, Curtis, Peter. There's not a lazy bone in these guys' body, but now I might be a little bit different. Next week on Crossing the Goal, we're going to tackle the seventh of the seven deadly sins, sloth. We'll see you then.